This morning, we've heard from two mothers who got out of their comfort zone, got on the platform here this morning. One gave testimony of song. The other gave testimony of song and words. We saw children before us, got out of their comfort zone, and stood up, and for most of them did something that they have never done before. As I looked at the young women that were singing Christ the Cornerstone, I'm not sure how many hours of practice they've had together, but it looks like it was kind of a comfort zone for them that they had gotten out of. And in John 10:10, someone stand up. I'm going to ask John. It's John's one of John's favorite scriptures. I'm going to ask John to stand up and read John chapter 10, verse 10 in its entirety. And listen, if you will. John, would you please read that again?
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full.
Simply put, thank you, Brother John. Simply put, there's two forces in the world. There is the thief force. That's the power of the evil one. That's the power of Satan. That's the power of doom. And then the other force is one who gives life and to give it more abundantly, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, when you come to know Jesus in a personal way, that means that at some point in your life you've acknowledged that you needed help, you acknowledged that you needed a Savior, and his name is Jesus, and you said you were sorry for your sin. You're not saying for all the sins in the past. Really, what you're saying is, I'm repenting of the sin of rejecting you, Jesus, and he takes care of all those things and puts you in and clothes you in righteousness. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you, and you start a brand new comfort. But as you're doing that, the thief comes on your shoulder in an even stronger way than ever before. The thief comes and makes you feel like you are not qualified to receive what you had just gotten. Initially, you're kind of stunned by it. You're saying, what in the world is going on? What is this force that I'm feeling that's on the outside, but yet on the inside, there's peace, path is all understanding, and there's no way that I can even explain this peace. And you try to explain it, and it doesn't come out right sometimes. Matter of fact, you explain it in the wrong way, people eat you up, chew you up, and throw you out. That's Satan using those people in around your life. So you are in what we call a battle of the flesh versus the spirit. Now the thief wants to destroy you. Well, why didn't he bother me before? Because you were with him. What? You were a part of his team. Though you were not aware that you were by default. You're either a part of the Lord's team or you're not. Period. There's no in between. So when you become a part of his team, the adversary starts having havoc. As you attempt to grow in him, he will bring it all out in full gusto. He will make you feel terrible. He'll make you feel inferior. He will shut you down. He will close your lips. He will defeat you. We just heard the testimony of one who used the example of using a physical body to be used in a way that was never used before. And as she went to this different level, and she got this confidence, and she got confidence in herself and the one who was giving her strength, all of a sudden, you got to hear me clearly what she was saying. All of a sudden, her confidence in him started to grow because she was being obedient. For many of you who know that lame Blaha, you probably looked at it and said, well, I didn't think she was disobedient. You see, what do we walk around here today and say, I'm obedient today, I'm disobedient? We're all. I guarantee you 90% of you could identify with what Lane was talking about today, because some of you feel so defeated in your Christian life that you feel that you can't do anything for him. And Satan wants you living there. Satan wants you there. Satan wants you defeated. Satan wants you tied up. Satan wants you to stay in the very comfortable life that you are. And some of you have resigned yourself there. You've been there for so long. You would not even know what it was like to step out, because Satan's got you. And you'd rather just go on home to be with Jesus. I understand. It's a war. It is a war coming out of something that you have been in for a really long, long time. Will you continue to live that life? You keep on living in the past. I am sorry for whatever the past has done to you. I'm sorry for whatever has happened to you in the past. But God's people, the past is the past. And it is only you and I living today in the present. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying you can't remember the past. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is you're allowing the past to so immobilize you, to so bring fear on in your life, that you cannot literally go forward. No one sees it but you. And you think that everybody knows it about you. No, because they are in their situation. They're not studying your life. See, that's another one of the ploys of Satan. Everybody's looking at you. No, they're not. They're only looking at you when you get up in the pulpit or when you sing or when you play the piano, okay? And those of you who have done that understand what I'm talking about. Those of you who are the teachers understand what I'm talking about. That's that fear that you have to just go through. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad you went through that fear? Amen. Yeah, you go through that fear, because it is in that fear where you see the glory of the power of God inside of you, doing something inside that is only unmistakably 100% His and His alone. As many of you know, I'm a big deal. I got my rubber bands on, and I now have four on. I had five, and each rubber band represents 2 weeks, and we are about 7.5 weeks towards hope. And I put on them every day, and it just reminds me that this year, hope particularly, is going to be very, very interesting at best, and just getting myself ready. But every time, in order for me to put a rubber band on, I have to stretch the rubber band. And matter of fact, did you see what just happened? Now, I've gone through about 7 of them already. My wife and I think that they do not make rubber bands like they used to, or I've come to the conclusion the last 3 weeks my stretching has really been just almost to the breaking point. But a rubber band is not really useful until it is what? Stretched. But the rubber band is amazing. Even as much as the rubber band is stretched, the rubber band in a short period of time, watch this now, the rubber band in a short period of time will go back to its original place. And I've been noticing that, and I said, Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean spiritually for me? I don't want you going back to where you were. I don't want you going back to where you used to be. I got some new challenges for you. Where were we, Cindy? In Decatur? The Singleton 4-miler? Yeah, we're in Decatur, and I must have hit the wrong thing on the computer because I said I'd do the race. So I said, okay, I'll do this race. And some of you heard before, I don't like to be beaten by people. So I purposely was the last person that took off in the Singleton 4-miler. Everybody was gone. The elite runners, when I was out there, the elite runners were passing me. They were about through having a Coke on me, and I'm still going. But as I took off and started the race, I had a purpose in mind to beat as many people that I could possibly beat by walking. Started that, passed 2, 3, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. Got up to the group where if I was going to pass anybody, I was going to have to start running. And fear came about me. I used to be a runner. I've had 5 operations on my knee. I had a knee replacement December a year ago, and the fear just came in. I looked at my rubber bands and got to get out of my comfort zone. Got out of my comfort zone. And you know what God did? God, as soon as he said that, brought it downhill. And I don't know if those of you have ever been on a downhill, and if you're trying to walk real fast, runners love downhills because you can what? Go faster. You go faster. Well, before I knew it, I'm going downhill, and guess what I'm doing? I'm running. And man, I'm passing some of them now. I had this one person that was way ahead of me. I had this female in my eyesight. I'm going to catch her. But what happened was, after I started running, for those of you who don't know, that after you start running for a while, if you're not trained, guess what starts happening? You lose oxygen. Oh, you start gasping. Okay? Now, I was stupid. Well, didn't last Sunday you said you had pleurisy? Yes. You mean you're telling me you did a race with pleurisy? Yes. Are you weird or crazy? Yes. I'm stubborn. So I had to stop, and I said, okay, I'm not going to run anymore. And then towards the end of the race, there's another hill. And I ended the race running. I was running, and this guy says, hey, Hope! I wear my Hope hat. And I turned to the guy. I said, the only hope I have is in Jesus Christ. He said, amen. Now, Sarah, where's Sarah? I don't know. My sight is Sarah Browning. Sarah Browning's going to be doing the July 4th race. She's a pretty good runner. And I'm going to try to come after her. Ha, ha, ha. I can't do it. I'm a walker. But I'm going to do the July 4th race among 70,000 people, 60,000 people, okay? Sarah will be finished, and I'll be coming up in the rear. Why? And what's this got to do with anything? As we close, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yesterday at Snellville Days, as we took our boys to Snellville Days, would you not have it that one of the workers that worked with one of our grandsons happened to be there, happened to be at amusement park, all the way from Cartersville. He's one of our boys' Sunday school teacher. He's a helper. And wouldn't you know it that the girlfriend happened to be there too? And wouldn't you know it that the girlfriend starts talking to my wife? And wouldn't you know it that the girlfriend told my wife that he was lost? And wouldn't you know it that Cindy would come over to me, see that young fellow over there? He's lost. And wouldn't you know it, I was trying to mind my own business. And wouldn't you know it, that in a span of time, I go over to him, and wouldn't you know it, I share Christ with him. While he's trying to work, very, didn't really do a good job because he's working and all. And wouldn't you know it, the other guy comes up to me and says, man, we're hungry. I said, what do you mean you're hungry? He said, man, we had this little tiny sandwich, and this one guy's like 6'2", as big as Tommy. He says, man, I'm just hungry. And wouldn't you know it, I walk away, and the Lord says, go get him 2 chicken sandwiches. And wouldn't you know it, I had to go and get 2 chicken sandwiches and go give them those sandwiches. And wouldn't you know it, I was obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say that's silly, but that guy is thinking, why would a total stranger come up and tell him about the love of Christ? Yes, does that mean that when you get in a comfort zone that you may indeed, I had it, where is it? I know I put it here somewhere. You may break the rubber band. You may break it. But if you're breaking it for the glory of God, isn't it worth coming out of the comfort zone? Now, I'm cautioned for some of you that are in the comfort zone. You've gotten comfortable. It's almost like Jeremiah being in the pit, and you've dressed up the pit, and you got a comfortable chair in the pit. You've even put pictures in the pit. You don't want to come out of the pit. But it may take you literally having to break a rubber band in your life in order for you to come out of the pit that you're in. You may say, well, I'm not doing anything like physically. We didn't talk about that. We're just using those things as an example, because too many Christians are comfortable. You have to get out. Some of you sit in the same spot on every Sunday morning. You don't know how comfortable you are. What you talking about? I dare every one of you, except for me, because I plan on preaching next week. This is my spot. I dare every one of you here next week to go to a different location. I dare some of you to even come up here. I know there must be something just so bad about being up front. I got to stay all the way in the back. I dare every one of you to get out of your comfort zone of where you are sitting. I dare some of you that you're so comfortable, you never get here on Sunday morning for Bible study. For some reason or another, the bed is more comfortable for you. And whatever you're doing at home is more comfortable for you. And you'd be shocked at how long it's been you've been confronted by the Word of God by a layperson. You're so comfortable, you don't even know it. Oh, well, they can't teach me anything. Oh, really? Oh, you know what all there is to know? I don't think so, because if you knew everything you knew, you'd be going against Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23, 24, and 25. Do not forsake the assembling of others. And we assemble, by the way, at 9:30 in the morning. Do I hear an amen? And I want to say to those of you who've never been in Sunday school, what in the world is your problem? You want someone to come alongside and help you? Why don't you get out of your self-centeredness and go and help someone else? Well, that concludes our dialogue for this morning. We are glad that you've come here. We now come to the time that a lot of people don't like. Only a few of us have it anymore in our churches. It is a personal, challenging invitation. We're wanting to ask you to get up out of your comfort zone and stand up for Christ, if that's what needs to be. Or come down here and get on your knees at this altar and say, Lord God, help me to get out of my comfort zone. Help me, Lord, to break a rubber band, because I am so comfortable. Help me, Lord, to get out of my zone of comfort. Well, it don't take anything to come down here. Oh, well, come on down and see what it's like. Come on down. Why is that so important? Because if you don't come down here, you're not going out. Did you hear what I said? Let me say this again. If you're not coming down here, you're not going out there. Now, I want you better think through that. You think it's hard to stand up in here? Shoot. You try to stand up out there for the cause of Christ. You think standing up here is hard? You think it's hard to come up here at the altar and pray? Hey, man, this is where we are. This is where we live. But it's when someone out there confronts you with the truth. Someone out there says, are you really a Jesus person? Are you really a follower of Jesus Christ? That's when coming down here gets you ready for out there. Hello. 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 You got any proof on that, Pastor? Well, all I know is this. It's not any scientific proof, but I'll tell you this. In the 28 years I've been here, the people that stay in the pews and never move are the least shakers in the congregation. Let me say that again. The people that never move in the pews are the least shakers in the congregation. What I mean by shakers in the congregation, they never do anything that's out of their comfort zone for the cause of Christ, because they're so comfortable. I've done my, man, jeez, be breaking every one of these. You need to keep that in your pocket for a week. No, I'm not teasing right now. Because there's something for you in a week. Keep it in your pocket, and something this week you're going to need to remember what I'm sharing with you. You're going to be challenged. That's going to help you. It'll help you. You hold on to it. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we're here today, being challenged by Anna, being challenged by our children, being challenged by Lane, being challenged with your Holy Spirit, do I or we need to respond? Would we respond?
to whatever it is that you want us to respond to. Would we say yes to you? Maybe it's standing up for Christ. May it saying yes, yes, I will follow Christ in baptism. I will not put it off any longer. Is today the day for someone here? I don't know if it is, Lord. You know that. Is someone here today? The day is the day. Today's the day. You say yes to Jesus. You say this simple prayer. Dear God, I am a sinner. And I need your forgiveness. Jesus, would you please come into my heart and save me. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you just prayed that prayer. Come to me in just a moment. I want to rejoice with you. Maybe your yes, you are the last person to volunteer in Vacation Bible School. You are the final link for that. You come. Be obedient to him. Get out of the comfort zone. Whatever it may be for you, we're here. Here right now today is a time for you to move. Whatever form, whatever fashion that you're moving here, you can move outdoors this week. So this altar is open if you want to come and pray. Father, have your way. Have your way in this time of invitation in the name of Jesus. Would you stand? Would you come? We're here to help you. You come with any decision this morning. The altar is open. You come. The altar is open. You come. Get out of your comfort zone. Come on. Get out. Come on. Time to do something different in your life.
I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again.
Time to stand up.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted. My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me, because you died and you rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Jesus, you are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Lord, all I do, we want to honor you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, a privilege is to know you and to serve you. And the privilege is to see the numerous times in which you give to us extraordinary blessings. And Lord, the teaching of the word is that we would give back our tithes and offerings. Thank you for that privilege that we get to do this morning. May you be praised. May you be glorified as we obey. Thank you in advance for opening up the floodgates of heaven and pouring out blessings upon those that are obedient unto you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother John. Tonight, we will have service at 6 o'clock. We invite you to come back. VBS team and volunteers meet into the multi-purpose room. Lunch is provided for you. Once you pray, have at it, and I'll meet you back there in a few moments. Also, next Sunday morning, remember, 9:30 multi-purpose room, a breakfast in the honor of our mothers. I hope that will be work within your plans for some of you. I know you might be out of town. I know that my wife will be out of town with her mother. I'm glad that that's working out for her and their family. But we'll be here. I'll be here and others will be here. So we'll look forward to seeing you. Have an incredible, uncomfortable week. A growing week in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Get those rubber bands out. Get them out. Have a great afternoon in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless.